Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Friday evening. Today, Bishop Dag challenges you to assess yourself to see if you are peculiar, strange, and unlike everybody else. Christians are supposed to stand out, and today's teaching will give you reasons, backed up by scripture, on why you must lead a peculiar life. Today's teaching will help you to understand why Christians must be totally different from unbelievers. Bishop Dag provides answers to seven frequently asked questions regarding Christianity, how to overcome struggles, and why it is important to be odd as a Christian. Wisdom is coming to you right now on how to live a sober, righteous, and holy life as you receive today's word.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful. Father, thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to guide us by your Holy Spirit. Lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My message is entitled 20 Reasons. But I'm not going to give you all the 20 reasons because of... Not that I can't, but it's just not enough time. Give me some power in my volume. I want to feel the power. Okay? Great. Glory to God. All right. Ask your neighbor, what would you just say when I said when he said glory to God? You said something. What did you say? What did you say? But the person sitting by you doesn't know. He's new. He doesn't know what you are saying. Thinks it's a kind of code. Now, I'm sharing with you what I call reasons. Now, these reasons are the reasons why things are done, that we do things as Christians, okay? Because what is happening is that we have a culture. When you come to Christ, we have a culture that you meet, and that culture, you just carry on with it, but you don't know why you are doing it. One day, there was a certain lady. And she was taught by her mother how to make a certain food. And that food is called meatloaf. Do you know meatloaf? You have never heard of meatloaf? It's a certain food called meatloaf. And the meat is like a loaf of bread. Yeah. Meatloaf. So, when she got married to her husband and she got home, she was married, she decided to cook for her husband. So one day she decided to make meatloaf. And in those days of the first love of the marriage, the husband used to come to the kitchen whilst she was cooking. And he had a stool in the kitchen. He used to sit on the stool and watch her cook. Is it not fantastic first love? Wow, what a dream. So brothers, when you are married and you are experiencing first love, don't forget to get your stool and come to the kitchen and sit there and watch her cook. And sisters, make sure you know how to cook something. Because if you don't know how to cook anything, and he comes into the kitchen, what is going to happen is that he will see that you went to buy the rice from Katawudieso. Do you know Katawudieso? It's a special wache selling joint. And he will realize that you are rice, that you bought the food. I know a certain wife, she was always buying food. And her husband didn't know that she hadn't cooked it. She bought it quickly, put it there, rearranged everything, and then as if she has cooked. Yeah. None of my stories are fairy tales. When it's a fairy tale, I'll tell you. Anyway, so this brother was sitting by her and she cooked the meatloaf and so on. And when he tasted the meatloaf, he said, wow, this is fantastic. And he said, make some more for me. So the next week she made meatloaf again. Wow. And again he was sitting on the stool. And he was just enjoying his beautiful wife. As she was going up and down. And she was, wow. Make sure you have a nice kitchen also. Because if your kitchen is smelly and dirty, nobody can sit there. So this imagination, I'm telling you, cannot happen. A lot of factors have to be fulfilled. Third time, he was in the kitchen again. And she asked, he says, what do you want? He said, meatloaf. So, when she made the meatloaf, then at the end of the third time, the husband said, can I ask you a question? There is something that you do every time you make the meatloaf. I've never understood it. And she said, yeah, what is it? She said that you always cut off the ends. You cut off the ends of the meat. You see, it's like a loaf of bread. You cut off the ends and you throw them away. Why? What is? Because it's so nice. I don't know why you throw this side and this side. I can eat it. So his wife said, no, that's how it's done. And she said that is how my mother makes all the time. My mother taught me how to make the meatloaf. And it's my mother who cut off the sides. So she continued. She said, no, that's how it is. So she decided, going on every time she would make them. Because now his favorite, some people, they don't know before marriage, but after marriage, this is all that. Be careful of those who claim they can cook, you know. But you'll be surprised that he will want you to cook all the time. So one day they went to visit her mother or his mother-in-law. They were in the house. Then this subject came up about the meatloaf. Yeah. And she started to ask him, said, so, mama, darling, he called his wife, darling Lucy, always cuts off. So she said, ask your mother. Why? I said, that is how it is. That's how it's done. I said, ask your mother. So then it was somebody coming to be, so they decided to ask mama. So she said, mama, why do you cut off the left and the right side away when you are making? The mother said, oh, the left side and the right side. It's because my oven is too small to keep putting them in. My oven is too small. I have just a small oven. What a shock. So you see that the daughter was doing something. She doesn't even know the reason why her mother was doing it. Just that this is what has been done. And this is what is done. So that's also what I'm doing. And you see, as a Christian, this is what a lot of Christians are doing. It's like, when I came, this is what they do, so this is what I'm also doing. But it's time for you to know the reasons why you are doing things that you are doing. And I want you to have a good answer and a good reason for everything that you do. So I'm going to give you the question, then I give you the answer. And you must write it down. And anybody who asks you, why? Why? Don't say that that's what we do. Otherwise, you are another meatloaf. The sister was ashamed because her husband had bought a big modern stove. And he was always cutting off the end. And when he finished, he asked, is that more? Oh, no, it's finished. Is that more? No, it's finished. But she has thrown away left and right. You always throw away left, you cut right and throw. This is that. This is what we do. What do you mean? Right. Now, the first question is, why are Christians different from unbelievers? Different, totally different. Why are Christians totally different from unbelievers? Amen. Why are we different? Yes. Why is everything about us different? Why? Why don't you do the things we do? Why don't you listen to the music we listen to? Why don't you go with us? Why don't you talk this way? Why don't you do all the things that we are doing? Why don't you drink and smoke and do all the things? Why are you different? Why don't you wear clothes that also show your body parts? Why are you different? Why do you make yourself different? Are you holier than us? Are you holier than us? Do you think you are better than us? Who do you think you are? You prefer people. Why? The answer is in the Bible. So I'll give you a question. You have the answer. And if you are not different, there is something wrong with you. In fact, if you are like them, there is something wrong with you. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Amen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 is the verse we are looking for. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. This is the reason why Christians are supposed, not that we is even an option, we are supposed to be odd. Look at the word peculiar. Peculiar. Peculiar means odd, strange, unusual, different, weird. Write it down, I'll give you the meaning. Odd. Odd when you say you are the odd one out. When someone says, but you are so odd, why you are odd one? Everybody's looking at Apostle. Will you not look at Apostle? Yes. I am the odd one out. I am peculiar. You are supposed to be peculiar. If you are not peculiar, there is something wrong with you. I came to tell you today. If you are not strange in your family, you are not a good Christian. If you are not strange in your family, you are not a good Christian, I'm telling you. Everybody has had sex except you are a virgin. And so you are odd. It's rather when you are like everybody. That is when there is something wrong with you. Christians are peculiar. You are a brother and you are a virgin. It's unusual. That is what you are supposed to be. You are a girl and you are a virgin. That is what it's supposed to be. Never think that you want to become like everybody. Because I have not heard of, you've not heard, yes, I've not heard of my type. This is how I am. Why is your fashion different? Because I'm peculiar, I'm odd. I'm supposed to be odd. I'm supposed to stand out as unusual. So odd, peculiar, odd, unusual, strange, different. Write down these words. You're supposed to be different from your sisters, different from your brothers, different from your colleagues, different from those on the same row with you. Is it clear? Yeah. And if you can't accept being odd or being strange, please join a new religion. We have so many religions. After church, you can come for registration. We'll register you and send you away. We'll deregister you from the church. You are joining a religion where you are like everybody. You can go away. Christianity involves being peculiar. Being odd. You are making you different. She said, you are holier than somebody. Who think he said you are better than us? What do you mean? I say, yes, I am different. I accept it. A Christian is a modern Jew. You are a Jew. Look, I will tell you, some of you haven't traveled outside Ghana, but you'll be traveling soon. Now, you listen. I told you what, you'll be traveling when? Soon. Any country which has Jews, when you go to that country and you go to the area where the Jews are, as soon as you enter the area, you know that you are with Jews. They are different. They have their beards. They have a certain hat. They have it on there. Everywhere they have their own food. Yeah. When you go to Golders Green in England, Golders Green and Hampstead and those places, first of all, certain features. You see the people, they are different looking. When it's Easter, they don't celebrate Easter, they celebrate Passover. They write, instead of Easter discount, they write Passover discount. Big Passover. They celebrate Passover, they don't celebrate Easter, Passover. They celebrate the Passover. They are different, they have made themselves different. You will not find any Mercedes Benz or BMW in that area. They don't drive German cars. They don't drive, Jews don't drive German cars. Yeah. Many Jews have a policy. The only good German is a dead German. The only good German is a dead German. Yeah. They don't drive German cars. They don't support German, whatever. No. Yeah. You see them driving Volvos and everything is different. Food. When you are on a plane, they'll say kosher. Special food. Sacrificed or killed in a particular way. They don't just eat meat. No, it's kosher. Specially prepared for Jews. We are Jews. We are different. We are different. And all the differences are in physical things. You see, so when it comes to Christ, we will also be different. All the differences will be in spiritual things and different things that make us also different. At the end of the day, that oddity will be there. We'll always be strange. If you are a politician, the Christian politician said, I am a Christian politician. I do not tell lies. That's all. So if we are to see real Christians standing for election, you see they will not rake, they will not tell lies, and they will not support things that are not, they will not support things that cannot be defended. But when you look on television, whether it's NDC or NPP, you see this one is in NDC. He goes to this church. This one is in NPP. He also goes to this church. And they will be saying, one of them will be defending and saying that this thing is purple. Another one will say that it is white. And they will all be on the same. But this one says, I go to this church. This one says, I go to this church international. One is saying it is white. One will say it is purple. Look at it. Look at it over there. And both of them claim to be Christian. But it's like the politics is higher. So you see that even President Rawlings, it behaves more like a Christian when it comes to certain things. I'm not saying he's a Christian. I don't know. But for him to stand out and accuse NDC, his own party that he's the founder of, and tell them that they are corrupt. He told them openly on the stadium, they have to banch out the corrupt people from them, amongst them. You don't usually get, but that is what a Christian politician, if there was somebody who called himself a Christian and he became politician and powerful, that's how he should be. He should be somebody who will stand out clearly, so strange. Ah, this guy, is he not part of us? This guy, is he not one of us, NDC? Now why is he saying what he's saying? Why is he saying the truth? Because a Christian will be up. He's like, if you don't appoint me, but I'll tell you the truth. That this is corrupt, and that's what it is. That's a Christian. But you don't get Christians doing that, but Rawlings will do that. And it's like what he is considered is that he is bold or fearless. But you see, that's supposed to be Christianity. Not Rawlingsism. It's Christianity. It's true. And you have other pastors who want to rather kowtow and toe the line to indefensible things. Yeah, because of whatever favors or whatever we can get. So I'm just telling you, when you're a Christian, accept to be. I was a virgin when I was getting married. It was odd. It's odd. I know that it's unusual. No problem. Yeah. I'm a half caste. All half caste. Drinking, smoking, going to parties. I never drank. I never smoked before. Never gone to all these parties, discos, nothing. Zero. No problem. I'm strange. I know I'm strange. I have different life. My friends are different. All my, I said, no, I accept it. I accept to be strange and totally different. I went to stay with my uncle in England. He sent me to, he said, I must drink. I must go to the pub. I said, I don't go to pubs. I said, I don't go. He said, I must have fun. I must be a normal person. I must be normal. I must have fun. And he was, they took me, it made his son take me. I said, out of whatever. I just followed like a lamb. I went and I sat there. When I said, what will you drink? Lager, what? Because they have beer. I said, I don't know how to drink beer. I haven't drank beer before. I don't know how to drink it. So can I have Coca-Cola? Just give me Coca-Cola. Everybody has come here. To drink Coca-Cola and to drink beer. Today he doesn't talk to any of his children, but he talks to me. All these children he was taking to drink beer and to say that they should be normal. He doesn't speak to his children. He doesn't speak to them. He doesn't have any. I don't want to see you. But he speaks to me. Yeah. I'm telling you. So I was odd. And when he was 70 years, he called me to pray. When I'm the odd one, I was odd. It's like you are odd. You wait and see what the oddness is going to do. When they say, call this person, the sophomore, call this girl, I want her. Some of you may have wanted to do politics. If you can stand to be odd, then you can do as a Christian. Most Christians are not strong. We say that Christians should fill positions. Christians should be instead of people occupying positions to promote homosexuality and other vices in the country and evils which have destroyed the Western world. You should have people who are really Christians who stand up and say, listen, Mr. Tony Blair, Mr. Bush, Mr. Obama, excuse me. As long as I am the minister of whatever, this thing is as unacceptable. If people want to do it, they should do it privately. Well, nobody's going to arrest them for doing whatever they are doing in their rooms. But I'm not going to promote it in the country and encourage boys to be girls and girls to be boys. I'm not going to do that. But can you find real Christians to join people and join NDC or join MPP and stand and say, Mr. So-and-so, if there was NDC people who have rigged the elections, would they stand up and say, I'm a Christian? I stole all this. You stole it. They will not do it. To do it means you've joined another party. But it doesn't have, you don't have to join another party. You can be in your party and say, I am in the party, but I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I will say it. It's true. Wow. So when somebody asks, why are you strange? Why are you odd? The odd one out in the class. There is a pop for everybody. And you say, I'm not an apocrypha. I cannot go for apocrypha. Wow. Are you prepared to be odd? How many now know the reason why we are strange? Now ask your neighbor, it seems you are not prepared to be strange. Eh? Ask the neighbor, it seems you are not prepared to be strange. Hey! Warn the person or challenge, it seems you are not prepared to be a strange person. Number two, why Christians do not have close relationships with unbelievers? Close friendships with unbelievers. I'm informing you and I'm telling you why. Yeah. Why Christians do not have close friendships. You do not have close friendship with unbelievers. You cannot have a close friendship with anybody who is an unbeliever. He says that he goes to Methodist. He says that he goes to Pentecost. He says that he goes to Lighthouse in America. Hey, stupid. Stupid! When you see a man, can you not see that he's a man? Say, I'm not sure whether he's a woman or a man. We know the signs of a man and the signs of woman. So stop coming to now tell me that I think he is. Stop that, Rob Dev. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the reason. The reason is a verse in the Bible. Every reason is a verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. My message is not called Why Do Christians. My message is entitled Reasons. And I'm going to give you more reasons this week, next week, and the week after. Even reasons every day, more reasons. I want you to know reasons why everything. I don't want you to cut off any loaf. Meet loaf at the end and say that that's how it is, Christian. That's how we are. Why we don't have is because of this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm not sure whether he's a believer or somebody who is going to urinate and is doing like this. He said, I'm not sure whether he's a woman or a man. I saw him urinate. I think he's a woman. Ah. He said he's a woman. He said he's a woman. But you saw he said he's a woman. But look at how he's weeping. He's weeping like. That a woman who is. Why is it that when somebody says he's a believer and he's practicing something that is done by unbelievers, then you are telling me I'm not sure whether he's an unbeliever or a believer. What a foolish question. Tell your neighbor, all fools are being ejected this evening, so please ensure you are not a fool tonight. What does the Bible say? Do not, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There is no close relationship or friendship You must not have a friend who is an unbeliever. Close friends. Oh, he's my friend, you know, from school. This is my tight. I'm talking about girl to girl or boy to boy. Before I come to girl and boy, that one is worse. Do not be unequal. You see, it's unequal. Yoke together with, for what fellowship does unrighteousness have with righteousness? Bible calls you as a Christian righteousness. God calls you righteousness. He says, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? You are called righteousness in the Bible. Unbelievers are called unrighteousness. Then what communion has light with darkness? Bible calls you light. You are the light of the world. And the unbelievers are called darkness. So what is the link? So that word yoke is like when they used to plow a field. You take one cow and another cow and you link them together and then they move together like this and they walk and then the plow is in the ground and it goes together. So you yoke the two cows so that they are stronger. So the two of them pull the metal easier. Okay? So they'll be moving together like this. Now, when you unequally yoke, you catch the cat in your house. Meow, meow, meow. And you take the cow in your house. So you put the cow here and then you have your cat down here. And then it's like this. Ooh, ooh. They're unequally yoked. You see that the cow's bones will, the metal will go inside his bones. Because it's an unequal yoke. The cow and the dog like this. And your life can never work well. So those who want to be close, you cannot have a close friendship with somebody who is not a Christian, who is not a believer. You cannot. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible was written before I was born. I just came into the world a few years ago. Yeah, I cannot never write such a book. It's an unequal yoke. It's my tight buddy. Because we are both heirs. We are both heirs. It's not a Christian, but we are heirs. We are both Nigerians. That is why we are tight, because we both came from Nigeria. We are lonely in Ghana. So you have made yourself yoked together with an unbeliever. Aye. You are both from Wesley Girls. And so what? Why Christians? Then it goes on verse 6. What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part? You see, he's trying to say it in about 7 different ways so that you never misunderstand what he's saying. What part has he that believeth with an infidel? Bible calls non-Christians infidels, whether they are Nigerians or Ewes or Wesley Girls people. They are infidels. They are called darkness. They are called darkness. They are called unrighteousness. It doesn't matter. Because it's the only half caste in the church. Oh. What about me? Sometimes I'm the only half caste left in the church. Many times I'm the only half caste. Yeah. All my friends were half caste. Yeah, my friends, my family friends, we all have caste because you become the friends of your mother's friends. Your mother's friends become your friends through your mother. You know, and my mother is a white woman, married a Ghanaian. So all her friends were other white ladies who had married Ghanaians. So she had Swiss friends, German friends, friends from Eastern Europe, all who had married Ghanaians, especially Swiss women who had married Ghanaians. So I have a list of friends. Have cast associate. We were all together. Yeah, all of us. These were my friends. Recently, I met my best friend on the golf course. Yeah. Half Swiss and half Dutch. Yeah. When I was in Bishaki, I said to Bishaki, this is my best friend from primary school, a white man. And he had traveled abroad. He just came back recently. He's back in Ghana. I said, this is my best friend. I used to do everything with him. Huh? My tight. What do you call it? Tight pa. That's what they call it, tight pa. Tight paddy. Tight pa. It was my tight pa. Is that what you say? No, you have to teach me what to do, huh? It was my tight pa. Is that how to say it? Tight pa. Wow. When I became a Christian, all these people went out of my life. New people came into my life. I cannot continue. So you rarely see a half caste around me. Kadela will be the closest to a half caste that you can get. So those of you who say, we are doing business. You see, it is because of business that we are. We are tight pa like that. It's because of business. Or because we are all in NDC, we are tight pa. Or we are all in MPP, tight pa in MPP. Or it's my roommate. It's my tight pa. Why do you have such a roommate, by the way? Is it by force to have a roommate? You choose. They just mix you. Okay. Wow. You can't. This is one of the reasons why Christians struggle to do politics. Because you become close. The politicians, they move together. They are close. They are friends. They sleep together. You do a lot of things together. Yeah. So when you join them, realize that you have joined a group of unbelievers. Everybody is drinking. Do you remember some years ago, Kwame Pienim, he was doing campaign, MPP. And he promised, he said, if you vote for me, all Ghanaians will have their chicken, their woman, and their beer. This was what he offered Ghanaians. I was surprised. Chicken, women, and beer. When I heard, I was taken aback. Hey, what is that? But you see, that's what they are. That's what they are. An unbeliever is an unbeliever. Number three, why Christians do not marry unbelievers. No matter how handsome they are, and no matter how beautiful they are. We do not have girlfriends and we cannot marry them. We do not marry unbelievers. It's as simple as that. We do not. Or we do not. Don't bring an unbeliever and say, Pastor, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. Then you bring him to church on Sunday. Come, let me show you. You bring him to church on Sunday. And as you, when you come to church, you come and sit down by him. And then when there's an altar call, you'll be holding him. Then when there's an altar call, say, if you want to give your life to Jesus, go, get up. Then you'll be pushing, go. You'll be pushing him, go. So she pushed me to give my life to Jesus. And then after that, she'll be telling me, hey, Pastor.
Last week, Sunday, he gave his life to Christ. Last week, Sunday, he gave his life to Christ.
Yes. Because you pushed me. When it was altar call, you were pushing me behind. Go, 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 go. You are supposed to go now. Go, go. Go, go, go and give your life to Christ. Have you seen it before? Yeah. I've seen it before. And I've had to officiate weddings. As I was officiating, I had a great suspicion in my soul. This man is an unbeliever. But I was technically, he was a Christian, because I did the altar when I saw him come like this. Thing. Hey, one day a sister did that to me. I was, hey, so this girl is wild. The girl is wild. This girl is wild.
Yeah. She brought him to church. She brought him. Sunday morning, before I could say Jack Robinson, I saw the guy has come like this. And he prayed. He gave his life to Christ. I prayed. And I was the one who prayed. So later I said, oh, we are marrying. What will I say? And a senior Christian predicted, said that as soon as he married, he would never come to church again. And it happened exactly. As soon as he married, that was there, and he never came to church again. Yeah. So Christians do not that, oh, we like ourselves in lighthouse. You know, lighthouse, they are like clannish, you know, they stay to themselves, you know, they like themselves. So when you are going to marry outside, they will see, they will be talking and they will be saying something. No, it's not a meatloaf that we are cutting. There is a verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked with a ring. You sign, we'll sleep in. Since I married my wife, almost 25 years, I have been sleeping in the same bed. Is it not a yoke? I'm connected to her. I have to sleep in the same bed. I sleep in the same bed with her. For 25 years, I used to sleep on a single bed, only me. Since I'm mine, I am yoked to her. I cannot escape to any other bed. Hey! Even when I'm feeling hot, I want to be, this is my bed. This is the only bed I have. I have to go back to that bed. There is no greater yoke than marriage yoke. There's no greater closeness that you are, no fellowship. You are forced to fellowship with that person every day. If the person doesn't talk, you all be there. Silent trade. You'll be in the house. Nobody is speaking in the house. Hey! If you have married an infidel, it's unto you. You will be together forever. It's something you are done for. So those of you who are courting unbelievers, convert to possess. I'm converting to possess him. Convert to possess. Ensure that he is converted already before you possess. You can't convert to possess. You are converting with an aim. Hey! Listen, supposing I came to First Love Church and I'm preaching to all of you, and inside me I have a reason that I'm planning to marry a second girl. It's one of the young girls in the First Love Church. Will you not say that I'm some way? More than some way. Because as I'm preaching, it's like I have a vision. As I'm appointing shepherds, I have a vision. Yes. As I'm training the elders, I have a vision. There is something wrong with me. And it's the same thing with you when you are converting people to possess them. I'm following up this brother. You look at the brothers and say that there are 6 people to follow up, but this is a handsome guy. I'm going to follow this guy. What do you mean? And brothers, you cannot only be following up sisters. Follow up to own, to possess. All right.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We do not marry unbelievers. You may be a Catholic. You may be, and how do we know they're unbelievers? You may be Catholic, but you are, if you are a Catholic unbeliever, you are a Catholic unbeliever. You may be Methodist, but you may be a Methodist unbeliever. You may be a Pentecostal, Church of Pentecost, but you are a Pentecostal unbeliever. You may be a member of Lighthouse, but you may be a Lighthouse unbeliever. You may be an Assemblies of God member, but you are an Assemblies of God unbeliever. Because there are a lot of unbelievers now in charismatic churches. They are not born again. So look at the way the person wee-wees first to know that it's a male or a female. What certain important traits? Yeah, the person, you see somebody who struggles to come to church. It's a struggle for you to come to church as if you are pulling your tooth out. Look at a boy, you want to marry a young man. It's as if you are pulling his tooth to bring him to a church. As if he's doing you a favor. To church. When there's praises and so you see him mumbling something. As if he, meanwhile the words are on the board. He cannot sing even. When they say amen, he's saying hello. When he say amen, he says hello. Look at the direction that he's wee-weeing to know that is he a boy or a girl. Is it clear or is not clear? Brothers, don't marry an unbeliever lady even if she's beautiful, if she has big. What is this place? This place is hips. And this place is what? Now, if you follow hips and you follow bum bums, you will be sad. I promise you. An unbeliever hips is not worth having in your house. Unbeliever hips. Hey! Or an unbeliever bum bums, no matter how mega, mega bottoms. Hey! Number, how many reasons have I given you? So you now know why we don't marry unbelievers. You just tell me 2 Corinthians 6:14 straight. Number 4. Reasons why Christians are friendly to all unbelievers. You see, it's different from the first one. I say friendly. It's different from having close friendships. Tight pa. No. Tight pa. I cannot be tight pa with you. But I can be friendly to you. I can be nice to you. I can relate with you. I can be in a class with you. You will like me more than everybody else. I can. That's a Christian. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that we must go into the world, and teach every nation, every type of person about Jesus Christ. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. Somebody should read it. Awo.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Read it again.
Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19.
Amen. Now, so the Bible is telling us that we are supposed to go into the world and preach. So if we are unfriendly to every unbeliever, how can we ever speak to them? If you've made your face to every unbeliever, I don't talk to you. You are a sinner. Hey, shh, don't come near. You contaminate me. Don't contaminate me. I'm anointed. Ha! Where did you learn that from? I'm holy. My friend, you know that even as you are a Christian, you are struggling to be a Christian. Are you not struggling? Hey! And why do you look down on somebody? We are all forcing to be Christians. Amen. At the back there, are you with me? This group here. Are you part of us? Are you Christians? This is why. We have been instructed to reach out to the world. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. In fact, Jesus said in his last prayer in John 17 that, I do not pray that I should take you out of this world. We can look at that verse quickly. John 17. Amen. John 17. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. As thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them. Amen. Verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world. Verse 16. Even I am as I am not of the world. Amen. So God is not telling us to be taken out of the world. But it's rather we have to be with them. Amen. And affect them for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The next one. Why Christians do not go to beach parties? Is the light okay? Serena, the light is bad. You need about 10 lights. It's blowing. Okay. Why Christians do not go to beach parties, discos, and unbelievers' parties. When an unbeliever invites you to a party, especially if you are a girl, don't go. Drink, don't go. Do not. Because especially ladies, they have things they put in the drinks to make you sleep. And about 15 boys will sleep with you before you know. Yeah. And later you will be saying you are a virgin, but you are not. Not knowing that more than 15 people have used you. One finish and they'll use toilet roll and clean you. And then the next person will come. You are just lying there. Yeah, you are down for. Why Christians do not go to beach parties, nightclubs, unbelievers' parties, discos. What other have I missed out? Drink ups. Write all of them. I'm telling you why we don't. Not because that's what we do. I'm explaining to you from the Bible. Is it in the Bible that we should not go to party and disco? Huh. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Am I supposed to close? Is it time? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient, or they are not helpful. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. Edify means it does not build me up spiritually. When you go to a beach party, is it going to build you up? A boy will be rapping you. Girls, don't be so stupid. Did you hear me? I said, don't be so stupid. Not stupid. Stupid. To find yourself in any of these parties. A young boy who is taking you to a beach party, disco, 2 a.m., trying to have sex with you, is up to no good. There are boys out on this campus, their minds are find somebody to sleep with today. And you are just going to be added to their list. There is nothing special about a girl to the guy. One day I met a guy who was turning into a homosexual. And he told me, look, I have slept with hundreds of girls. Hundreds. Do you want to be one of somebody's hundreds? Yeah. Zip your vagina quickly. Let me hear you. Let me say zipping. Zipping. Hey! You will not zip. You will not zip. You see some of them. Yeah, it's like you are from Wesley Girls. I know. Wesley Girls. Wesley Girls. Zip the thing and stop. Now, this verse covers many, many, many things that are not clear written in the Bible. This particular verse is 10:23 and 6:12. Always remember, 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 6:12. They are the same. Put 1 Corinthians 6:12 on. You see, it's the same thing. All things are lawful, the same thing. But all things are not expedient. It's in two places. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, it's okay to go to that boy's room, but you can come under his power. Yes? It may be lawful for you to go to that girl's room, but when you go there, you will come under the power of her voluptuous breasts and bottoms and the golden chocolate creamy. In the Bible that I should not enter this room? It's lawful to enter a Lesquapong number. All you can, 410. How many numbers? 4102 of 3102 or 213 4245. Is it illegal? Is it in the Bible? Thou shalt not enter room unless Papon 4109. Is it lawful to enter that room? But is there a power there that you may be brought under? Wow. Look. When this girl whose neck it's like cucumber. And you see her breasts like apples. Hey! And she just touches you like this. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. My Lord. You see that your trousers are trying to come off. Ah! Brothers, do you understand the preaching that I'm preaching? And you see, a sister, you see that, Charlie, your body is trembling. A power that is working, you see that is very powerful.
One day
I went to walk in a field and I met an old white man, and he said to me, my dog is lost. He said, I have a little dog. It is lost. I'm set for it. Oh, an old white Englishman. He said, a power has taken away my dog. I said, what power? He said, the power of sex. He said to me, it's the greatest power in the world. And my little dog, which I look after, has run away from me. And has followed after another dog. Hey, do you want this great power to take over you? When he said, I shall not be brought under the power. And I tell you, the more licentious and demonic a sister is, the more attractive she looks sexually. You see, there are girls, you as a spiritual brother, keep watching. You see that somebody may be very beautiful, but she's not sexually, she has not set you aflame sexually. She doesn't inflame you. But when you look at her, you realize this is a very beautiful girl. Watch out. Some of those ones, they are already induced with demons dancing through the skin, like that. It's coming through the skin. Yeah. So it's lawful. You are going for beach party. They're going to have sex in the water. They have sex in the water in the beach party. Huh? In the pool, in the beach, in the water, in the bus. Yeah. Everywhere they are doing things. Is it illegal? Is it against the Bible to sit in a bus?
No.
Is it against the Bible to sit in a kufur bus to go south?
No.
But I tell you, under sexual certain conditions, certain atmospheres, look at you, a nice girl like you, you will be added to somebody's list. Yeah. A man will come with his big pot belly and he'll take you in his BMW and you sit by him in the cars with a very cold air conditioner and special light. The car is like a cockpit of a plane and you are cruising and he's asking, where are you going? And you tell him where you are, and he wants to have sex with you in the car. Don't act as if you don't know what I'm talking about. You're not acting strange, as if you don't know what I'm talking about. And he's taking you to his house to bath you in his house. Your father thinks that you are in a Les Papon Hall. That he's bathing you in the airport residential area. Huh? With a big pot belly, and you are also washing the pot belly with soap. You are putting soap on the pot belly and you are washing it. Because it is so big. No, let me tell you, listen, there is nothing against taking certain lifts, but no dinner is free. Somebody is giving you money. Take. Oh, have some money. Have some money. No dinner is free. There's no free lunch. Some of you are sponsored, they buy dresses for you. When I was in this school, a certain man with a big, I don't know whether he had a pot belly, but he was from town. He came to Volta Hall. One of the girls was in the hall. When he saw her, he came to her room, outside the room, in front of everybody was there. Time! Did I not take you to China? Time! Did I not take you to London? Bang! Ah! Did I not take you to America? Bang! Did I not buy you a fridge? Bang! Meanwhile, you have another campus boyfriend. As you are maintaining me, you are maintaining me as your boyfriend. You have a campus one. Bang! Everybody say bang! In front of her, and he lifted her and carried her out of the hall. Yeah. He lifted her. He was very angry. Carried her out of the hall to his car. Did I not take you to England? Bang! Did I not take you to China? Bang! Did I not take you to America? Bang! Did I not buy you a fridge? Bang! Did I not buy buy you a carpet. All this carpet in your room. Fridges in your room. Clothes, shoes, microwaves. Hey! Buy! It is lawful to receive that microwave. But what is the cost of the microwave? Buy! TAs are sleeping their way with you too to give you a pop. Bang. Did I not show you last semester's questions? Bang. Did I not make you get a second upper? Bang. Did I not take you to my house last week? Bang. Did I not add one mark to cross? Bang. So I'm giving you reasons why we don't go for certain things. Amen. It's lawful. It's lawful. It's lawful. But it doesn't help. Amen. Another reason is in... I can give that for another thing. Okay. Why Christians don't go to parties? 1 Thessalonians 5. This is the first verse I learned as a Christian. This is the first verse when I got born again. This was the first verse I learned. So I want it to be a special verse for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. It's my first verse as a born-again Christian. Look at it. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Not even abstain from all evil. Appearance, it looks. Ish! This website, it looks. The way the name of the website is. The name of the website, XXX. It looks evil. Abstain from all, not abstain from all evil. Evil is clear, evil is evil. But now he said, abstain from appearances of evil. Not abstain from all evil, but abstain from appearances of evil. That's what you should stay away from. Not just evil. Before evil, the one that appears. Including boys who look evil. There are some guys who are too smooth in their talking. It's too smooth. It's too smooth to be true. They are too nice to be true. Their raps are too good to be real. Wow. And that beach party, to me, it looks... Because I know you go to the beach in the morning. How can you be going to the beach at 6 p.m.? Huh? Tonight. Yeah, I hear somebody died. 2 a.m. beach party. What beach? We who can swim, we are afraid of them. When we see the sea in the night, we are afraid. And you are going, are you a fish? Are you a shark? Are you a whale? Why Christians do not watch pornography? And I think I'm going to end on this one. Are you want more reasons? Okay. No problem. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But you know, before we go, All right, no problem, not a problem. It's not a problem. Why Christians, before I give you this one, why Christians do not commit fornication? Why we don't have sex before we marry? That one is easier, and then I can go to the porno. Those of you who have pornography on your phones. Anybody who has pornography on your phone, take out your phone. We are deleting tonight all such things. Now, Ephesians, I told you 1 Thessalonians, okay, verse 3. For this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's the will of God. It is the will. Someone said, I want to do the will of God. Before you say, I'll go to China, I'll go to here, I'll go to... The will of God is that you should abstain. You have to learn how to, as a Christian, abstain. It's something that you learn to do. You do not sleep with others. You just get a wife or a husband and you sleep with the person forever and ever till you die. It's not something you can bottle up, because ejaculations are within us. Sexuality is within us. It is a power that is boiling in us. So we cannot bottle it up. Otherwise, it will explode. That's why you have to marry. And when you marry, then you'll be releasing, 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 releasing. Ay! Release her for about 40 years. And then you die. Wow. Is it exciting? I'll tell you why Christians marry young. I'll tell you why Christians are to marry as young people. Yeah. A lot of reasons I have. Yeah. The Bible says we should abstain. So sometimes, I want to do the will of God. I want to go to China. I want to go to Mozambique. I want to go out to Angola. I want to go anywhere that the Lord will send me to. Pastor, can you pray for me? I really want to do the will of God. Look, the will of God is abstain from fornication. That's the first. Your mission field is down there. The first mission field is under. Down under. If you can control down under, you have accomplished your first mission. Hey! The underworld. Has it gone? The underworld. You have to conquer and go as a missionary to the underworld and conquer the underworld. Consisting of vaginas and penises. You see, I don't want you to misunderstand the message that I'm preaching. When you go, you say, we didn't understand. The priest was talking. We didn't know what he was saying. That is the underworld. You want the will of God? That's the first will of God. Don't come and tell me you want to be a missionary to the world. The underworld is the first world you have been a missionary to. That's the will of God first. How many are ready to be a missionary to the underworld? To overcome, conquer the underworld? Are you going to conquer the underworld? Are you going to conquer the underworld? Are you going to conquer the underworld? We can do it. I said, we can do it by the grace of God. Yeah. And you have to conquer it so much that people will say you are strange. When people start calling you strange, thank God. Your Christianity is now growing seriously. When people start saying you are strange, that's it. It's a very good sign. Yeah, you are broken through in Christianity. This is the will of God. You have to conquer the underworld. Yeah. Throughout your life, you will be conquering it. You add it as a... when you are young, it's a major mission field. As you get older, it becomes a minor, smaller mission, but it's always a mission field. It never goes away. So young girls, you have to conquer. You must manage to keep yourselves. Zip. Zip it up. Anybody who wants to go, say, no, take your hand. Stop it. Stop it. Let this be your last time. Otherwise, I will not talk to you. Tell any brother who is sitting by, let this be your last. Let this be your last time. This is it. Never again. Don't try that thing again. Tell the nearest brother, stop that rough there. This is your last chance. Those at the corner are not following. See, those at the corner, they are not. All right. We got to end. Now, why Christians do not watch pornography? Verse 4. 1 Thessalonians verse 4. I'm telling you, don't say that, oh, we know, we ask for, you know, we, I don't know, nobody, we don't know why, we don't want to, I'm showing you. Once in a while, no. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel or his body in sanctification and honor. You must know how to control your body in an honorable way and in a sanctified way. Okay? You must know how. So everybody, you know, you must know how to do it. Girls must know how and boys must know how. So one of the ways boys must know how is marry early. Don't be super spiritual and say, you know, the Lord has come in. I'm studying certain... Look, you are a normal person. Eh? Don't try to be special. You are just normal. Okay? You are nothing. You are just a normal person.
So, I'm going to marry in the near future. When I'm about 42, 43, I'll be getting married and so on. My sperms are everlasting, so I can stay for a long time.
Look, stop that rough there and just get down to the job. Locate a beloved and sign the job. Just sign in and that's it. Now listen, I'm talking about pornography. Everybody should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 5. Not in the lust. You cannot live your life in lust. In the lust of concupiscence. Aye! In the lust of concupiscence. Which means desire, craving, longing. You cannot be living in a world of everyday feeling. Oosh, eesh, eesh. Oosh. What is that? What is that? Until you express your lust, it's not a normal and a good way to live. This is how, even as the Gentiles which do not know God. You see, Gentiles who do not know God live their life basically in every lustful feeling and craving that they have. They just follow it. I like it. So you see in films sometimes, you see boys looking inside. Everybody they see, they want to sleep with. Anyone, they say, hey, look at the girl. Ah, look at her. It's like, that's the normal unbeliever. Anything they see that is wearing a dress or a skirt, it's okay. Come, I follow my feelings and every craving and lust and desire. It's not a good thing to live in lust. When you put on pornography, you are putting on things, you are seeing naked people and stirring up desires and cravings and imaginations. There is no woman like the people that are in doing those things. There is all these girls, none of them will ever behave like that. What you are seeing, you are creating an imagination. When you get married, you will look and say, you are a disappointment.
You are different. I thought you would be like this, like this, like this. I have imagined this. You have imagined wrongly. You are craving things and you are living your life looking at things that you are imagining. Yeah. Fantasies. Want to have sex as they are doing in those films that you are studying. They are doing things in all kinds of ways and places. And this is what you are staring yourself. Meanwhile, I'm not married. You wait and see. You grow up. Even when you are married, you have to take those magazines or those, even now they don't use magazines, you have this on your phone and you have to look at it to stay normal. Yeah. You are living like an unbeliever. So watch yourself. You are normal. If you want to create for yourself a very abnormal world, do it. So everyone take your phone and delete any, some of you have quick. When you press here, no, it goes to that place. Take your phone out. All of those who have phones, iPads, and other gadgets. Check your neighbor's own and see whether there is any such thing on it. Naked people. Apps. Is it under apps? How to have sex. App for how to have sex. Huh? Sex positions. That's an app. Sex positions app. What are you doing with an app of sex positions? And what other apps are there? How to have sex. How to impress girls. An app. Huh? It's on Google Store Play. How to be a player. Art of seduction. Please open your things and delete them now. Check. Hope everybody exchange phones with your neighbor and just do a random search. A random search. A random search. How many reasons have I given you? Only six. Seven. Seven is a perfect number. Stand to your feet, everybody. Amen. Have you deleted all those apps? How to be sexy? How to French kiss? What about Spanish kissing? All right. Look, as I'm even preaching about it, you almost feel sinful. It's almost an unspiritual environment. It's so unspiritual. Just to even preach about it, how much more you are doing the thing. Oh. We now need to speak in tongues to sanctify ourselves. Everybody begin to speak in tongues for some few minutes. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Your blessing. Mandola makabarandale meshendele memendele bebendele be. Lambrele meno shombolele meke banandale mamendele. Arombala mama shandele beke mandala la babandala. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why Christians are peculiar. Amen. Why Christians do not have close friendship with unbelievers.
Why Christians do not marry unbelievers? Number four, why Christians are friendly with all unbelievers? Number five, why Christians do not go to beach parties, nightclubs, drink cups, and unbeliever parties? Number six, why Christians do not commit fornication? And number seven, why Christians do not watch pornography? Why? Reasons why? In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word. We give you thanks and we give you praise. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. How many think Jesus was the best example? I wanna be more like you. Oh Jesus. Father, we lift our hands and we say, we want to be like Jesus Christ. We cannot do it by ourselves. And so we ask for your grace, your Holy Spirit, to work in us to do your will. Thank you for the great blessing that you have given to us to will and to do. I'm going to give you a scripture that you are going to take home as your memory verse. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Take out your notes. Just make a note and your phone, anything that you use as a notebook. Maybe you're high tech, you don't write with a pen anymore. I want you to notice this. God is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. God is at work in you to make you want to do his will. But the good news that God is also at work to help you to do his will. God is not only making you want to do his will, but God's power is what will help you to do. Not just to will, but to do. Unless God helps you to do, you cannot do. I said you cannot do them. God is at work in you. How many realize that you want to do it? How many realize sometimes you are not able to do it? So that is why God is going to work both. Everybody say both. Say both. Both. Both to will and to do. God is working in you. So if you are able to do it, it's the work of God. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and let's thank God. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be more. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be a blessing. You work. Every head bowed, every eye eye closed. If you are here today, you are not a born again Christian. Listen carefully. Maybe if you die today or tomorrow, you don't know whether you go to heaven or hell. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God tonight. I've heard you preaching, but I know deep down in me I'm far away from God. I want God to come into my life. I want to make a new day. I want a new chapter. I want to turn around. I want to follow God. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to change me. I want to be a believer. I want to serve God from today. If you are here like that, you want to say, Pastor, help me, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. If you are here like that, lift your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just your right hand. Just your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Pastor, help me, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Lift it up high. Pray with me, Pastor. I need Jesus. I want to turn around and become a Christian from today. God bless you. If you have lifted your hand, I want you to come to me. Come from where you are standing. Just come. Come to the front. Come. Come to me. Come. Come from the back. Come from the side. Wherever you are. Come. I'm going to pray with you. Come and stand here. I want to change. Come. I want to be a new person. Come. I want to give my life to God. Come. Come now. I'm going to pray with you. Come to God. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Quickly. Quickly. There's one more person. Listen. Don't go to hell. There's one more person here. You are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. Tonight is a turning point for you. Come quickly. I'm counting up to three. You must be here. Where are you? Come now. My friend, come. Quickly. God bless you. Come. Tonight is a turning point. Come. It's a night of change. Your life is being changed forever. Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Whatever I pray, pray after me. Say after me. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Forgive me for my sins. Oh God, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Tonight, I confess all my sins, all my wickedness, all my evil. I confess it. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Wash away my sins with your blood. Make me a new person. From tonight, I will follow Jesus. I will serve Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me tonight. Have mercy on me. Please write my name in the book of life. From tonight, I pledge myself. I commit myself to God, to Jesus, to serve God. From this night, I belong to God. And I will serve God. Heavenly Father, please write my name in the book of life. From tonight, I am born again and I will serve God. Thank you, Father, for saving me today. Now say after me, Satan, listen carefully. From tonight, it's over. It's over. It's over. I do not belong to you. Satan, I do not belong to you. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. And I will serve Jesus from tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.